Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Jane Cormier, your host today for Art for Living, here on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and, of course, our new signal, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We want to thank you for joining us today. We always love to welcome our listeners, new and old, here on Art for Living. And, you know, we've been doing an awful lot. You folks out there that listen to Art for Living know we've been doing an awful lot with classical music lately. Lots of opera, lots of classical music. Avaloq Music Institute was a guest, and we've been having a lot of people talking about that interview. But today, we're going to take it and veer a little bit to a different topic, just as artful as the music we've been talking about. And that is, we have a pretty cool program. I'm going to learn what it is with you. It's called Concord Reads. And we have two guests today. We have Kate Ransmeyer and Liza Poynier.
You got it.
Poynier. Yeah, these names, they threw you for, you know, when you come on and you're doing radio, you check the name, you always ask, and then you get on, you're like, ah. So there it is. Okay, we did okay with Kate and Liza. Later on in the program, we have someone else calling in. And who will be calling us in, Kate?
You're going to be hearing from Annie Hartnett, who is the author of the Concord Reads pick for 2024.
Oh, cool. All right. Very good. All right. So I always tell my guests, those of you that have been on the show, because at this point, I think like everybody's been on my show. Anyway, we try not to do too much pre-talking, because I do like to have the natural feeling of information coming out for the first time. It just sounds better, and I think it's more real for our listeners, and we're all about that, having an upbeat program. So, Kate, why don't you take us in? We're here to talk about Concord Reads. What is Concord Reads?
So, Concord Reads is a wonderful citywide literary event. It was started over 20 years ago by some, you know, residents of Concord who were affiliated with both the Concord Public Library and the Concord Monitor. They'd heard about this citywide book group that was happening out in Seattle, and they thought, why shouldn't Concord do this too? So
cool.
It happened for many, many years. A book was chosen that had been recommended by the community, members that were, you know, aware of the program, something that would capture residents, relate to their daily lives, but also be a lot of fun to read. And this went year after year, and we took a little hibernation after 2019 because
okay.
As many programs did. But we're back this year with a fantastic title, Unlikely Animals by Annie Hartnett. And as Liza can tell you too, this book was recommended by multiple people mm-hmm. to us. And we all were excited because it's based in New Hampshire. And we thought for the reboot of our wonderful Concord Reads program, this was the ideal title to help people sort of escape, enjoy a tale of small town New Hampshire that's inspired by some really fascinating history as well. And so, as Liza can tell you as well, there's a whole range of programs that have been developed by the staff at the library. It'll be 2 weeks beginning at the end of April of a variety of programs that are free, open to the public with registration.
Cool.
And books are circulating from the library now for you to read.
So for folks that are driving around Concord, if you know that the library is right by the, you know, it's in the city hall, near the city hall and the police station, we see that big sign, Concord Reads. Now, I've been in Concord for a long time. Shame on me, because I never knew about Concord Reads. How could that be? I missed it. But now you're back. 3 years hiatus because of the COVID, I assume.
Exactly.
And here we are. We have Unlikely Animals by Annie Hartnett. So, who is the group that actually comes together to suggest the different titles?
Well, Kate and I are members of the board of the Concord Public Library Foundation.
Okay.
And starting more than a year ago, actually, a small group of folks from the foundation and library staff came together with a couple other folks to talk about what some books might be. And, you know, we've done books in the past that are pretty heavy, and have introduced really important community conversations around things like immigration and homelessness. And so the one request that we had was to have a read that was not quite so heavy.
Okay, good, yeah.
And what I love about Unlikely Animals, this year's book by Annie Hartnett, is the fact that it's lighthearted, but it actually does have a lot of really juicy issues.
Okay.
And so, as Kate mentioned, there's a whole lot of programs coming up in late April, early May that will talk about many of those issues. Aging in place and elder care, mm-hmm. and addiction, and but there's well, okay, what? I'm already taking a detour.
No,
but,
that's okay. Go ahead, it's okay. Detours are fun.
Well, so one thing that's really, as you might imagine from the title of the book, Unlikely Animals, there is an animal theme in it, and. There's a character who is a real life person named Ernest Harold Baines, and he was a naturalist, 150 years ago or so.
He's a real person, you're saying?
He's a real person. Okay. And his ghost plays prominently in the book, as do the ghosts from the local cemetery. And I understand that it's a little bit like Our Town, which I'm a little embarrassed to say I have not read, but you know, there's this kind of Greek chorus of spirits that kind of comment on the action in town.
And interesting.
So we've got animals. We've got this real life naturalist who did super cool stuff around Corbin Park. There's the Corbin Park angle. So there's a program about Edward. I always forget. I'm looking at it right here. Ernest Harold Baines and his work many years ago. And there's a program at the Old North Cemetery as well to kind of capture that angle. And so lots of fun stuff to talk about with this.
So this sounds like this is a book for people that are here, too. You know, that if you're living in Concord, all of these areas and these people and these, happenings, this is one you should read.
Oh, absolutely. It's. I mean, and I grew up in Pennsylvania. I'm a recent, I recently relocated to New Hampshire.
Well, 9 years is not that recent.
I guess relatively speaking, I've been here for a while.
But, there you go.
But, you know, this is the kind of book that makes you excited to be from New Hampshire.
Excellent.
Because it's so, from my outsider perspective, it's unique and quirky. There's all of, Concord being a city, it still has a small town feel, and you can completely relate to how all the people in the book, they know what's going on, they know about each other and personal histories, but there's these bigger overarching themes that draw everyone together. And the other fun thing about this book, even though, it's geared for high school through adult readers, and part of our programming is to have Annie Hartnett work with Concord High School students.
Nice.
So she'll be doing some workshops with them on May 14th in the morning before her big live author event at the Bank of New Hampshire stage. But this book also has themes that can appeal to our younger readers. I know when I first pulled it out of my bag, my three-year-old saw the cover and was like, foxes,
yes,
dog.
It's a very cute cover.
And so our wonderful program coordinators at the library, including the youth services director Rebecca Kasten and Jennifer Needham, who's our outreach coordinator, came up with a bunch of ways for kids to get involved in this book. So we've got Miss Julianne is doing a concert. She's a local musician and music therapist. We've got a talk at the Audubon that can engage the whole family thinking about animals. So it's an ideal Concord Reads pick because it connects a whole range of readers to a single book. So we have the biggest book group.
So when did you decide on this book? Like, how long ago did that decision process happen?
As I said, the group started getting together maybe a year ago, and the decision was made in top secret fashion last fall.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. We wanted it to be a happy surprise, you know, the big return of Concord Reads for people who missed it, because there have been some really fantastic programs. And, doing this in partnership with the library also as a way of, because the mission of the Concord Public Library Foundation is to support the library and to support people's access to all of the materials that the library offers.
Mm-hmm.
So by focusing on this one book and how a book can bring the whole community together and bring people into the library, not just for reading, but for all the other things that the library offers.
Yes.
It's just fun and exciting. And so we all knew about it in the fall.
Okay.
And then
all these things happen organically? Like all of these things that you've brought into the story, you know, for unlikely animals. Did that happen organically? Did you plan it? Or did it just happen? Like these other groups coming in, the youth groups and the, you know, that other, all that stuff.
Yeah. So once the book is picked, and it is picked with a consideration for what can we do with this?
Okay.
You know,
cool.
What do we have in our community that will connect us
right,
to this
that
book?
Will that we can connect to the book and have it thrive?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sounds like really great. I have a couple of excellent questions. This is very interesting. All right. So you're going to hang with us. We know that the bump music is playing. So that means we're taking a break here for advertisers. But stay with us because we're coming up on the other side and talk some more about Concord Reads. Jane Cormier here, your host for Art for Living, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. Your host here, Jane Cormier, Artful Living, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. If you are just joining us, we have a couple of great guests today, and we're going to have a third guest as well in the second half of our hour. And we are talking with Kate Ransmeyer and Liza Poignier, and we're talking about Concord Reads at the Concord Public Library. And I am getting all kinds of great information. I admit my ignorance because Concord Reads program has been happening for 20 years. Where have I been? But they have taken a little break because of the COVID epidemic. Not unusual, right? But they have a new book coming out, which I understand we ended our last segment talking about a year ago the process started. And since that time, there have been really organic, great relationships happening to keep this out there and having people excited about Unlikely Animals, written by Annie Harnett. So Concord Reads, just, something, Liza, you had mentioned in the last segment, that the Concord Library has a foundation. Question for you. Do all libraries have foundations like this?
Great question. Most libraries do have some kind of a friends group, The Concord Public Library Foundation has been around for many decades. Before it was a foundation, it was the Friends of Concord Public Library.
Yeah.
And so I should also mention that there is a Concord Public Library Trustees Board, which is separate as well. So the Board of Trustees works with the library on major decision-making, I would say, policy and things like that. Whereas the foundation is, it is a 501c3 nonprofit foundation. Mm-hmm. And what we are tasked with doing, as I said before, is to support the library and to support public access to everything that the library offers. So to do that, we raise money and make grants to the library and occasionally to outside groups who are helping to improve access to the everything that the library offers.
Right.
So we actually, should I get into this at all?
Sure. Because
I feel like I should mention.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
So the Concord Public Library Foundation over the last 20 or 30 years, I would say, has made many motions to help the library either move, rebuild, or expand. Because if you've been to Concord Public Library lately, you may have noticed that it's in an older building that's been around since the 40s without a whole lot of changes. And so the library, in order to serve the public properly, really needs a major overhaul and expansion. And so the foundation has been working on that for a long, long time, kind of quietly behind the scenes. A lot of people don't realize that the library is a bit overdue for some attention. So we are working on that actively and, in fact, presenting in front of the City Council just next week to say, yeah, it's exciting because we actually have a spot in the Capital Improvement Plan for 2024-2025 to start the process of acquiring property behind the library to expand down onto Prince Street. So things are in motion, and we are really proud to be a part of it. And we've been raising money and saving it all these years and letting it grow so that we can be a helpful part of adding resources to that project. So that's pretty exciting.
So that's happening alongside this.
Yes.
Are they connected? Are the programs connected at all?
So I would say that Concord Reads is really a way to build visibility for the library and its programs, and to make people remember you have this amazing public resource that is staffed by some of the most creative, imaginative, caring people you could find in our city. And we want people to come and use the books and, you know, experience these programs to recognize the value of the people inside so that we can build interest in improving the structure that houses all of that.
Gotcha.
We need a facility that is supporting 21st century library use.
Which is very different from what we... I'll bet you our listeners haven't really thought about, you know, this and why this need for change and expansion is happening.
Exactly.
You know, so what are the things that we need to expand to better in this?
So a big thing is just the way buildings are physically designed. In the 1940s, there wasn't as much thought given to access for people with mobility issues.
Okay.
So even just the entryways and the structure of the building, they need to be improved to make sure that anyone can use the library with ease.
Yeah.
Coming in for a public program doesn't involve using an elevator that is very often out of order.
That,
or, you know, the staff having to move books around with tote bags instead of being able to use a regularly functioning elevator in a multi-story library it's a big challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Another issue is just protection of the contents of the library. And anyone who has an old house can relate to this. You put on a new roof and there's still water getting in somehow.
No kidding.
So that's a reality for our library.
Sure.
That it has an amazing collection that also includes archival material for our city that needs to be protected in a place where it's safe, but can also be accessed easily by people who want to know about city history.
Right.
And so Concord Reads is just a way to get people into the library.
Gotcha.
We have almost 10,000 library card holders making 200,000 visits a year. It's a widely used resource, but we know there are more people out there who can come in and experience it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, I understand now how the puzzle pieces come together.
Yeah.
having been someone that has used the library, I think people really don't understand a lot of the things that the library does offer. For instance, the Libby program, that site, Hoopla and Libby. You know what? You could just that alone, right, would bring you to your library, to understand how to access it and as part of your library, you know, card kind of thing. The music, the databases, magazines, the socialization of actually going out and being with human beings to access information and grab a book that will, you know, grab you. I think that art is an art that needs to be protected because technology is great, but it can bring us away from places like our library, which we need to promote to keep people actively participating in it.
Yeah.
So I certainly see why that need is an important one.
Yeah. And I mean, when I first moved to Concord, the library was the first place I visited with my little toddler because I knew it was the best way to experience my new city and get a sense of who is here, what kinds of things are happening. It's a hub. It's where you learn about community events.
Yes.
In addition to, like you said, having that really unmatched feeling of someone saying, you might like reading this.
Yes.
It's a book I hadn't really thought I would pick up. But then when you love it, and I coincidentally, that happened with Unlikely Animals.
Yes.
It wasn't a book I necessarily had on my own list, but it was recommended by these friends that I got to know through my volunteering at the library, and it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reading all of Annie's books.
Right.
And it's just this cycle
that
we want to keep going.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So for folks that haven't maybe thought about the importance of supporting your public libraries, it can't be understated, because there's a whole component to using a library that you can't get anywhere else. You can't get interaction like that. You can't get just to be able to access something when you come in that's relatively quiet, mm-hmm. and that offers you the ability, the cornucopia of what you might be looking for at that moment, rather than type, type, type singularly by yourself looking at a screen. Now you're three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And we do need that.
Oh, we do.
Deeply.
We lose that. We lose so much of the human experience.
Yeah. And not to get too philosophical, but, you know, it is the last place left that I can think of where you can go and hang out mm-hmm. without any expectation of, you know, having to do something in particular, without having to spend any money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is,
you're
it
right.
is open to all. You can go, you can do so many things, all the things you listed, and, mm-hmm. and the library is the last great refuge, in my opinion.
I totally
love it
agree.
Very much. And so, yeah, as Kate said, Unlikely Animals and the whole Concord Reads program are just one way that the foundation and Concord Public Library itself aim to engage more people in learning about the library and enjoying everything that it has
awesome.
To offer.
Awesome.
I must mention mm-hmm. the eclipse is on Monday.
Yes.
And library card holders can each get a free pair of eclipse glasses.
Okay.
So be sure to go in. And if you don't have a card yet, that's okay. Because guess what? You can get one and you can get your eclipse glasses on the spot. So protect your eyes.
Yes. You know what? It's funny that we have to say that, but you just have to keep saying that.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. We're going to take a little break here. Artful Living, Jane Cormier, your host, and WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay right where you are, because when you come back, we will be speaking with the author of Unlikely Animals, Annie Harnett. Welcome back, everybody. Jane Cormier here, your host for Artful Living on WKXL, New Hampshire, talkradio.com. And if you are just joining us, you're in for a treat, because we're going to be speaking with the author of the Concord Reads book for the year called Unlikely Animals. And we have on the phone Annie Harnett. And Annie is the author of this, I'm understanding from everybody's telling me, it's a great book. And we're going to talk a little bit about this specific Concord Reads selection. So, Annie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So, let me tell you, Liza and Kate here are like spewing all good things about Unlikely Animals. Everything from the beautiful blue and youthful cover and what's in it and how the story kind of a little bit, they spoke a little bit about how what's in the book and how it intertwines. But you're the author. So tell us, what is Unlikely Animals all about?
Yeah, it is a hard book to describe, but it is a fun one to read. It is a book about a young woman named Emma who has returned to her small town, New Hampshire town, to take care of her father, who is suffering from a mysterious brain disease, and he is hallucinating the ghost of a man named Ernest Harold Baines, who was a real-life New Hampshire naturalist, who was basically Dr. Doolittle. He lived with animals in his house. He had a fox, he had deer, he had bears, and he lived in New Hampshire from 1904 until his death in 1925. And there's real pictures of him throughout the book, because all those pictures were in public domain. So it's a book set in 2014, and it's about this family and what goes on in this town now, but it's also got this fun string of real New Hampshire history in it. And it's quirky and it's fun. a romp about life and death.
Well, my goodness, it sounds like it's a great romp. You know what? I turned in the, I turned a few pages and I come up with Mr. Ernest Harold Baines and his tame fox. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting on a rock wall with this beautiful fox on his leg, and he's pointing in the same direction that the fox is looking. So I think that book probably tells the story of the book of where you're going. Whatever made you come up with a Dr. Doolittle type character in New Hampshire? Are you from New Hampshire, New England?
I'm from New England. I grew up in Massachusetts, and we had a house in Freedom, New Hampshire that we would go to all the time. I didn't intend to write anything about historical fiction. I write sort of dark comedies that are about families, like sort of Wes Anderson style.
Okay.
Usually. So I was writing a story that was semi-magical about this woman, this young woman who returns, basically drops out of medical school. She was born with a slight magic healing touch in her hand.
Oh, cool.
So she's come home to sort of regroup because she's been told she's going to be this golden girl all her life. She was born with a magic healing touch, and
She just feels like a big disappointment.
That's Emma.
Okay,
that's the main character.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Wow.
And so there's a slight thing of magic in it. And then so she's come home to, and so she was born with this healing touch. And so she's come home to deal with her father, who's dying of a brain disease. And she knows no matter how much magic touch she ever had, if she ever even had any, it was never enough to heal something like a brain disease.
Okay.
So that was the book I was writing in the beginning. And then I was up visiting friends in Newport, New Hampshire. And they had just moved there. And I was kind of adrift at that moment in my life. My first book had come out, Rabbit Cake. And that was great, except usually you feel a little unmoored after your first book comes out because you're like this private thing has become suddenly public.
Yeah.
I had a dog that I loved who had died right around that time. So I was just struggling with writing and with life. Mm. And so I was driving along Newport, New Hampshire, and I looked up and there was this gorgeous yellow mansion in the middle of a town that if you've been to Newport, New Hampshire, it doesn't have other mansions. It's not like Newport, Rhode Island. It's a lovely town, but it's not a not a town full of mansions.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So I started researching the history of this mansion because it was really gorgeous. And I found out that it was owned by this 19th century robber baron who had built the mansion as his retirement project. And then behind the mansion, he had bought up 26,000 acres of land.
Wow.
And shipped in animals from all over. So it would end up being his son who would hire Ernest Harold Baines, the Dr. Doolittle, to be the official naturalist for the park. And it was so fascinating because then what I found out, you know, having spent a lot of time in New Hampshire, this blew my mind, and I've heard from so many New Hampshire people that it blows their mind too because there are people who don't know about it, that this park, all 26,000 acres, is still intact today and
wow.
still exists. And still fenced in, and you can see it if you look at the map of New Hampshire. You can really see where there are no roads because it's just this huge,
really
like, monumental site. Like it takes up parts of five towns, and so I was just flabbergasted,
yeah.
So excited, and then to find out that this man lived in the park or at this end of the park, edge of the park, and had animals in his house, and I was already writing about this man with the brain disease who had basically has Lewy body dementia, which is people often hallucinate animals in their house,
wow.
like cats or sometimes rabbits, or you know, sometimes it's children, or it's hallucinations, you know.
Huh.
And so that all tied it in together because I was like, I could have a ghost with the animals in the house, and I can have you know the brain disease. And it was so kooky, but it ended up working.
It's really too bad that you're so uncreative. You know, you know what? And isn't it funny how real life funnels this stuff to us, right? Because how would you have ever put those two together?
No,
unless
I know.
You had seen that Yellow Mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It was just like a nudge from the universe.
Totally, totally. And I totally believe those are the ones you don't ignore. Those are the big ones. Even if they come in small, they loom large after. So what is the animal? You love animals, I think.
I do.
Yes. I took a wild guess. So tell us about that, because your first book you said was what? Rabbit cake. Rabbit, R-A-B-B-I-T?
Yep.
Okay.
Rabbit.
Unlikely Animals, Dr. Dolittle People. So what does Annie Hartnett have to do with animals?
I just have always loved them. I have a deep appreciation for the natural world and feel really connected to animals. So my mom is a biologist, so that, you know, might be where I get all of it from. When I was adrift in my life and I didn't know what I was going to do, I thought I would be a vet, except I didn't take any math classes. So.
There you go. Awesome. I knew that there was a story like that in there. In fact, I was going to say, did you want to be a vet? Because the underlying feeling, even when you're talking about it, this isn't just a story about, you know, an animal here or there. You have a deep abiding feeling, I think, for that. So that's great. Are all of your books, do they have an animal dimension in there, or is it just a couple?
They do. The next one, the third one, it won't be out till next summer, but there is a cat in it. So I don't know. I feel that animals and people are so deeply connected that there's often, and it's a lot of the emotion that I feel. Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm able to make sense of human emotion better by processing it through my love for my dog, or, you know,
yes.
It makes, sometimes it's easier to access those emotions. The love comes more naturally.
Ew, isn't that funny? I have never thought about it like that. I'm a dog lover myself, German Shepherd in particular. And mm-hmm. most of my adult life always had one or two. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, I live in an apartment now, right? And so it's not fair to have a big dog like a shepherd in an apartment. But I miss that component. If anybody said to me right now, do you have anything in your life, you know, regret or a desire, whatever, that'd be it. I would mm-hmm. love to have a big space, big enough to have two big German Shepherds, and my life would be complete. That would be mm-hmm. it. I'd die happy. And because there is that, for people out there that love animals and have pets and love their pets, you're absolutely correct. There's a dimension of how that correlates to human beings. I swear it does. It does connect. And you wouldn't think it would, because it's a pet, right? You know, it's not like your kid or your parent or whatever, but no, it does connect. You're right. So maybe that, I'm of course, having spoken with you, I'm going to have to go out now and read your books. But I think that maybe that's why Unlikely Animals is as special as it is, and why Concord Reads, you know, chose that book. It sounds like it's all about relationship of different types.
Yeah, it definitely is about relationship.
Awesome. All right, well, I'm playing some bump music here, so we're going to take a little break. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay with us, because we're going to have our final segment, and we're going to bring all of this together. Welcome back. Jane Cormier here, your host for Art for Living today, WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio.com. And if you're just checking in, we've been having a jolly segment here talking about Concord Reads, the Concord Library, and the book chosen for Concord Reads this year called Unlikely Animals by Annie Hartnett. And Annie is on the phone here, and we have a couple of ladies in station as well. We have Kate Ransmeyer and Liza Poinier, and they are with the Concord Reads program. And in the first couple of segments, we were discussing how important the library is, first of all, to let folks know what they can access and how many resources are at the library to access, and that how Concord Reads is sort of a program that will point people through this neat book that they've chosen this year toward the library, let folks know about it more. And so we have all three ladies here discussing Unlikely Animals by Annie Hartnett. Have you ladies met? Of course, you've met Annie.
So I have only met Annie through the power of email. I have sent Annie so many emails lately. She is the most patient person, and she's so organized, as I mentioned to you before.
You did, yes.
For being such a busy person, she's a writer, she's a teacher, she's an enthusiastic ambassador to people who are trying to be writers, and she answers my emails immediately. I don't know how she does it. We're all volunteers on the public library side trying to do this, and we're so grateful for her involvement with this, because it can be a big ask, to have someone not just let their book be chosen, but we're asking her to teach, hundreds of high school students, yes, and talk to many people in our town and
be really active.
Yes, exactly.
Annie, I think you have a fan.
I do. I'm a big
fan of them. I answer the emails, but they send the emails.
That's awesome. This is all good stuff, feeling here, relationship going on, and it's a real positive thing. Liza, have you met Annie yet?
Again, only by email. And
okay.
I want to tell everybody that you can meet Annie because she is coming to Concord on Tuesday, May 14th. So as Kate mentioned, Annie will be spending the day at Concord High School working with some of the teachers and writing students there. And I'm really excited about her bringing not just the book, but also her amazing teaching experience and ability to engage young people in writing exercises. And then it's going to be a mighty long day, Annie, and I feel like I need to apologize for this over and over again. But at 6 o'clock, the doors will open at the BNH stage in downtown Concord. And Annie will be there for to sign copies of her book, or if you just want to say hello and tell her how much you enjoyed reading it, the copy that you checked out from Concord Public Library, hint, hint. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be having a big public presentation, Annie on stage at BNH stage with our guest host, Laura Kanoy, who many of you will know from... everything in
the
Central
Exchange,
New Hampshire,
on
The Exchange.
NPR.
And so Annie in conversation with Laura Kanoy at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, May 14th. So it's
going to
be...
Wait a minute. You said 18th before. Is it the 14th?
Oh, my bad. Definitely the 14th.
Okay, good.
It's definitely a Tuesday.
All right.
And Kate's nodding at me. Yes, that is correct.
That's okay.
It is free. It is open to the public. And all you need to do is register. So please do go to the Concord Public Library Foundation website or the Concord Public Library website. And there are links there that will take you not only to that public program, but to all the other things that the library has set up, the children's programs, grown-up programs at the library, at the Audubon, at the cemetery. There's so much to choose from, but you do need to register, so mm-hmm. please do that.
Yes, absolutely important. And how many times are we hearing how expensive everything is? When you have something that's free and quality, you must partake. So that's very important. And you know what? I'm going to leave this in your ladies' hands. When we get closer, let's have you come on again. And, sure. Let's do half a segment and remind people that our listenership, this show runs at 9 o'clock.
Great.
So it's great drive time.
Wonderful.
And so we like to remind people of stuff that happens around that time. So, but I'm leaving that to you to check in with me.
Okay. We'll do.
And we'll get Annie's information out there. Annie, your Unlikely Animals book, when did you write that?
That one, it came out in 2022. It took me 3 or 4 years to write.
God bless you. Are you part of the New Hampshire Writers Project?
I'm not.
Well, you need to be.
Can I be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Laura Kanoy is part of it. And I went to a, what is that called, like a convention last year I think it was early summer. And there were a plethora of young, writers. I won't just say young. There were young writers. There were older writers. But the community that I saw in that room was amazing. New Hampshire, I think it's New Hampshire Writers Project. And you definitely want to come in here. You could bring your books. You can talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great event. See if you can get on that. They're working, actually, WKXL is running a program with them very soon here at the radio station, because we went to that convention and were so impressed with what they're doing, making new books and authors and stories so you know, putting it out to the public so that the public can hear all the different aspects of writing and what it's about. So you should do that. I'll throw that at you.
Just add it to your list.
Well, New Hampshire readers have been the nicest possible, most wonderful readers of this book, and I'm so appreciative that people have a sense of humor and that people have liked it as much as they do.
Well, I'm sure. I can't wait to read it. And what is your next book coming up?
My next book is called The Road to Tender Hearts, and it's about an old man who's reading an obituary, realizes his high school friend is dead, which means that the woman that he dated in high school is single again. So he drives across country to win back the girl he dated in high school.
Oh, gosh.
And takes a cat and two kids along with him on the trip.
Great story, Annie. You have a great imagination. Holy moly. Yeah, really cool. Great story. How many times, I know I'm an older gal, and I tell you what, the theme of that story, because you do sometimes hear, you know, oh, we got married. I haven't seen her in 40 years, but, you know, have you not, ladies, heard this story with people? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really does happen that people reconnect after all these years. It's a great storyline. Good for you.
Thanks. It's been very, very fun to write.
Good. And you have how many books that you've written?
I have two that are out. The Road to Tender Hearts will be out next summer. Rabbit Cake is out and Unlikely Animals is out, and they're both out in paperback.
So. Awesome. You said you lived in Massachusetts?
I live down in Lakeville, Massachusetts these days.
Lakeville. Wow, where
was
that?
No one's ever been to Lakeville, but it's great.
I grew up in Andover, but I don't recall ever hearing
I'm in
Lakeville.
The South Coast, kind of. I call it the armpit of Massachusetts.
Okay.
With much affection.
I gotcha. But it's probably a really good spot for a writer, right? Because it's nice and quiet there and small.
It's wonderful. It's like a rural spot of Massachusetts. So, you know, I have lakes and bald eagles and all the things that I care about. So.
Yes, good for you. All right, we're going to tie this up. So Concord Reads, again, for those listeners that have come to our program a little late, Concord Reads, give us a quick little summation again.
Yeah, so the books are circulating now of Unlikely Animals from the Concord Public Library. Check them out. Read now so that you're ready to enjoy a whole slate of programs that are free and open to the public starting April 30th. Yeah. We've got lots of programs related to this title that are for everyone from kids through adults, and it's the important part of this program is that it's a free way to interact with your library in Concord, the wonderful Concord Public Library. Enjoy a fantastic story, and truly Annie is a remarkable storyteller. She gets all the elements you want. There's a caper, there's ghosts, there's romance, there's tons of humor. It's a funny book, and it's poignant.
There's a mystery too.
There's a very good mystery.
And it's very stressful.
Yes.
Oh my. But there's a happy ending.
There are happy endings. So it's a wonderful way to enjoy a good book in a huge book group. It's like the biggest, best book group you could ever be in.
Awesome. Okay, well, I don't think anybody gets a better review than what you just said. That's great. And Liza, again, what can we tell our listeners why the library is important and how they can access and all that?
Oh, boy.
Where
to begin? Yeah, the Concord Public Library Foundation and the Concord Public Library are just so happy to be able to bring Concord Reads to the community. And so please do check in at Concord Public Library. You'll see the display right out front of Unlikely Animals. There's many, many copies for you to check out and enjoy. And be sure to visit the website and register for as many programs as you like, and we hope to see you on or around May 14th.
May 14th is the date, so we're going to come on again, ladies, the week before, okay? And we'll remind people.
Annie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Annie. It was so good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Annie, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and hopefully we'll get to see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, pleasure. It's a pleasure. Okay, and we want to thank you, our listeners here at Artful Living, for coming to WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. That's WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. And Miss Liza and Miss Kate, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you at our next segment of Artful Living.